time for your weekly dose of nostalgia with the 80s and 90s Uncensored. I am Milo Denison.
And I'm Jamie Fenderson. And today we're talking about Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. Specifically, we're talking more about the books, since the books came out in the 90s and all the movies came out in the 2000s. And we're the 80s and 90s Uncensored, not the 2000s Uncensored. So
we're going to time that stuff a little better.
if you want us
to talk about it.
Yeah. But I got this idea. We had it on our list to talk about, but there was recent news. So a proof of J.K. Rowling's first Harry Potter novel was bought for pennies 26 years ago. And it's like this weird, just very basic looking proof book, but it sold recently for almost $14,000 in England. The book and the original owner got it for 40 pence, which I guess is like 50 cents. It's like two quarters.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like I guess it must be in really good condition then as well.
Well, and even if it's not, if it's like one of the only ones that exist, then still. But from what I saw, it doesn't look too bad.
There you go, listeners. Dig through your closets, see if you got an old first edition of Harry Potter.
Yeah, that's what the lady who owned the book saw, some kind of news story about books that were selling for big money. And she's like, wait, I think I have some old ones. And it was behind a bunch of other books on a shelf. It wasn't even like out. It was behind some other books. And she went and sold it at an auction for 14 grand, dude.
That's crazy.
See, you know, why do I work so hard? You know, I just needed, if I were going back in time, I would have put stock in like these tech companies and bought some original Harry Potters, and then I'd be set. I'm working my ass off, man.
Well, the thing with the original one is like they didn't think it was going to sell all that well. According to Wikipedia, the first edition of the first Harry Potter, they did 5,650 copies. When she submitted it to publishers, so she apparently found her agent reasonably quick. But when they submitted it to publishers, 12 publishers reject it and tell Bloomsbury Publishing. And that's after the guy that worked there, his 8-year-old daughter read it and wanted to keep reading more. So yeah, the head of Bloomsbury was like, oh, my 8-year-old likes this, so maybe we should publish this book.
And can you imagine those 12 of the other publishers? They must feel like the drummer from the Beatles that quit. Yeah, totally. You know what I mean? Or maybe they feel like the toy company who turned down the Star Wars line.
Yeah.
They're like, oh.
Oh, man. Oh. Just seemed like some silly kids book. Jeez.
And the whole franchise now is worth $25 billion. And J.K. Rowling is the first and to date only billionaire book writer. And I was thinking like, wow, Stephen King, even past Stephen King, who wrote so many books and he made so many movies, he's not for want though. His estimate net worth is $500 million. So he's not starving by any means, but yeah, she is the first and only billionaire book author.
Yeah. I think Michael Crichton is up there as well, because a lot of his books have been turned into movies as well.
Yeah. But they haven't been made into theme parks. Have you been to the theme park?
No, Heike has been to it. So she really enjoyed it. She had fun. But
so I like it. I went to the one in California, Universal Studios, and it's a lot of fun. It's kind of cheese dick though, because they have this part where they have all this cool stuff that they do with wands and everything moves around. And then they kind of usher you to this wand store to try to sell you wands. It's pretty cheesy. But Butterbeer is freaking delicious, dude. I even found recipes. Like, I'm kind of a butterbeer making connoisseur because my kid likes it so much. And so I have different recipes trying to make the best butterbeer. Butterbeer is freaking awesome, dude.
All right, cool. Can you make like an alcoholic version of butterbeer?
Yeah, I didn't look into that, but I suppose you could. But you'd have to brew it. You couldn't just kind of like take beer and then do something with it. That's kind of
So you'd have to properly make it.
I that's what I say, but maybe I'm not. I mean, I'd probably do it like mix some Bud Light with some butter and caramel and be like, butter beer.
that sounds delicious.
Yeah.
But
But Harry Potter and the, you know, it's called, the first one was published in 1997 in the United Kingdom on June 26th. But it was, I didn't know this. It was called, it's called Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone in Britain. But they changed it in the U.S. to the Sorcerer's Stone because they thought people in the U.S. would know that philosopher is another term for magician or sorcerer in kind of British English.
They're like, that sounds cooler than Philosopher's Stone. That sounds more
dumb,
like
Americans wouldn't get it.
Yeah, more badass.
But she, J.K. Rowling has since kind of regretted that they changed the name.
I don't think she's regretted it that much. I mean, she did make bank off of it.
I think she's doing all right.
Yeah. According to this, like the books, so all seven of them have sold more than 600 million copies worldwide. Best-selling series in history, available in 85 languages. And the last four, which of course were post-2000, but we'll say them anyways, set records as the fastest selling books in history, with the final one selling 2.7 million copies in the United Kingdom and 8.3 million copies in the United States within 24 hours of its release. That is crazy.
Have you read the books?
I've read the books, yeah. I've read the books and watched the movies.
Yeah, so when these came out, I was in the Navy, and I'd see my buddies, I mean, these are war sailors, reading kids' books. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? This, like, you're a United States Navy sailor. You're reading kids' books. And I'm like, dude, you don't even know. It's good. And they're right. It's good. So you had everybody. They're not just kids' books. Everybody. You can't sell that many books just to kids. Like, other people were reading this.
That's why they've done so well, because both kids and adults can read these books and enjoy them.
Yeah, I've read them all. My son's read them all. I think everybody's read them all.
There are very few people who haven't. And of course, she's probably getting continued sales because people are, like, you know, burning them now and chopping them up. There's like religious in the U.S. that, like, there's, I was reading about this guy, he's a pastor at a church and he does an annual Harry Potter book cutting because he couldn't get a permit to do a book burning or something like that. And so he does an annual thing where he takes the book and cut it. And I don't know how many they do, but I mean, I guess they have to buy it each year, to cut them up each year. So it's good for sales.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Well, the like religious fundamentalists think it like promotes witchcraft and religions like Wicca, which maybe it does. Shoot, man. Probably a lot of people became Wiccans because they want to do magic and ride brooms.
Like, man, I want to play with Quidditch game and ride around on a broom.
Well, and in fact, there's a real life version of Quidditch.
I've
so in 2005,
that.
Yeah. And they did some kind of exhibition tournament in the 2012 London Olympics.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I don't think anybody's like being evil. I think it's just all in good fun, but maybe there's a subset of people who are like totally into like real, like they think they magic is real or whatever.
Well, the problem with any book is they tend to get overanalyzed, especially popular books, right?
Mm-hmm,
remember in college, you take like a literature class and you just overanalyze books.
Yeah.
And it's like, I really don't think the author had all of this in mind when they were writing it. They were just trying to create an interesting story, right?
Yeah. You go to a college class and it's like, I did a college, when I was in college, I had a whole class around Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah.
Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. And it was great class. It was fascinating. But I was like, I wonder if Mary Shelley was really like thinking people would have college classes about her book about a monster.
No, she was thinking, hey, hanging out with my friends and we all decided to write horror stories and I actually did one.
Yeah.
Haha, suckers.
So I guess this came to J.K. Rowling. She used J.K. Rowling too because she didn't want people to know like what her gender was, because she thought maybe if people thought she was a woman, like male readers wouldn't like it as much. But I guess she was on a train and it was delayed for like 4 hours and she just started thinking stuff and it just popped into her head. And who it's amazing to me that a woman on a delayed train just thinking up stuff would turn into a $25 billion book, movie, theme park, cultural phenomenon.
Yeah.
It's amazing, dude. It's crazy.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you talk to people and they're like, oh, I've got a great idea for a book. And it's not so much the ideas, right? We all have ideas.
It's
the perseverance to sit down and write it, because she spent a lot of time writing and rewriting. And I mean, you send it to 11 publishers and they get denied. At some point, you just kind of almost give up and stuff. So it's really that like perseverance and motivation to actually sit down and do it every day. That's what gets books written.
Well, and that's real work. Everybody's got ideas. But if you sit down and grind through and actually make, you actually write the book, that's, you're right. I think she deserves her billions because she did that and people loved it. And she probably got a whole generation of people back into reading books.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. Kids reading, like anytime you can encourage kids to read. And the fact that she wrote it, she had a kid, relationship issues, her mom recently died. She was working, not working at various points, like relatively low income. So props to her.
Yeah, well, the best art typically comes out of pain.
Yeah.
That's why we do this podcast, you know.
It makes us feel better about ourselves.
You hear that? Publishers and whoever, give us our billions.
Yeah.
We're suffering over here. We're starving artists. Look at Milo. He's a starving actor.
I'm a starving actor. I need some acting gigs. Producers, directors, cast me.
Do it.
Yeah.
So it became such a cultural phenomenon that there were a few things happened. For instance, the Oxford English Dictionary in 2003 entered the word muggle.
Mm.
And there are actually a number of new dinosaur species found that were named with Harry Potter in mind, including Dracorex, Hogwartsia. There's a spider that they found and they called it Aerovixia Gryffindori. And they found a new wasp and they named it Ampelex Dementor. And there's a crab called Harryplax. So they're naming new species of animals that they find, dinosaurs and even new animals now after Harry Potter. But they're like Latinizing it, because you got to Latinize things all the time.
You got
to
make
even
it
though
sound.
It's based on totally Anglo-Saxon lore, they gotta Latinify
make it. Difficult
it.
To make it difficult to say.
Yeah, you heard now. I'm struggling. I'm not the Pope. I can't speak Latin. But yeah, it's a huge. I mean, that's how big this whole series has become.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the movies have made millions, the theme parks, the spinoffs, right? Because, she's done other books. And all of the writers that this encouraged, right? Mm. I bet you some of the other kind of werewolf, vampire, magic books that came out after this were probably because of this. And publishers were like, oh, crap, people read this stuff? Hey, we just got that submission. You remember that one about the vampire that sparkles? Yeah, let's publish that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. Twilight, I think that's directly influenced. I mean, I didn't read those books because it's like romance, vampire things,
vampire
not my thing.
Romance.
But
teenage vampire romance.
But do you remember my buddy Smitty?
I don't know, maybe.
Bartender, when we were hanging out last time we were here? Yes. He had a girlfriend. It broke up since, or they got back together. Maybe they broke up again. I don't know. They're always like off and on. But she's a waitress, but she's writing a book, where she was. I don't know where it went. Obviously, it's not famous yet, but she was writing a book about mermaids because she was inspired by all this Harry Potter kind of stuff. So, I mean, even waitresses in Issaquah, Washington are writing books about mermaids, man. That's how big this thing is.
Yeah, it's great.
So the second book, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, that came out in 98. And then in the US in 99. And then Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban came out in 1999. And then there were other ones that came out in 2000 that we don't have to talk about we don't have to talk about the movies either.
We can.
But she did in 1999. We can't talk about this. J.K. Rowling sold the film rights for Harry Potter to Warner Brothers, But she only, you know, maybe she didn't know how big it was because she only sold it to Warner Brothers for about $2 million. If she'd have known how big it was going to be, she probably would have been like more like $200 million. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think she did keep some rights in regards to like script approval and then some control over merchandising as well. So she probably got additional money. Who knows? Maybe if she got, you know, some on the back end of the film.
She went George Lucas on it with the merchandising. That's where the money is.
Oh, man. I mean, there's stores here in London, Harry Potter themed stores. People constantly, there's one in central London that's huge and people are constantly in there buying stuff every time you walk past it.
Yeah, it's crazy. So do you have a favorite book out of the series?
I like the earlier ones better than the later ones just because they tended to get a bit darker as they went on. Here's the thing with the Harry, I said this to somebody once who's in, and people are fanatical about their fandom of Harry Potter.
They're like Trekkies, dude.
Oh,
they're like us with Star Trek. Like they get into fights.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be drinking at night and getting into Zoom fights.
Yeah. Cause I said this to somebody once, cause I've seen all the movies and read all the books and we were talking about Harry Potter and I'm like, I've seen them all. I've watched all the movies. But if you were to ask me what actually happens, I couldn't tell you other than like Harry Potter and his friends are told to behave. They completely ignore that and they get into trouble. But then it turns out they were right in the end. And the adults should have listened to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, beyond that, like what really
that's happens? Like the Goonies, right?
Yeah. Basically. And she got so offended. You could just see the offense in her face at my lack of like plot points in the Harry Potter series.
So I like the movies. Okay. I don't dislike them. I think I like the books better. I don't know if I'm a super fan of the movies. I started to get maybe a little fatigued after how many movies they made 8 movies, didn't they?
Something like that. Cause they split the last one into 2 movies.
Yeah, so
Milk it for a little more money.
Like Harry Potter's in his like mid-20s and stuff. It's like, okay. But they're all not bad. It's not like a lot of sequels are just terrible. It's a good series, and I like it. But I do like the books quite a bit more.
Yeah, and the acting in the movies is good, too. Like, you've got great actors. What's his name? The guy that died a few years ago that played the one teacher? No, not Ian McKellen. He played like the mean teacher that none of the kids liked. He was the bad guy in Die Hard.
In Die Hard.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to have to pause.
To make it seem like we actually know.
We actually know because we forgot his name and that's unexcusable because we love him.
I can even picture him.
Then we just can't think of his name because we're stupid.
But his name is
Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman. Criminy brain fart.
Alan Rickman's great.
And yeah, he's great in this.
Yeah, he is. And he makes a great like Snape because he's kind of like good and bad. Bad
and apparently and good. I was reading the story. He was fun behind the set. Like there's a story of Daniel Radcliffe. He kind of had a crush on one of the girls that was in the film. And there was a scene where they're all having to sleep like in the main room because they're all in danger. And so he goes to the, you know, director and is like, hey, can you put me in the next to her? And they're like, yeah. And so Alan Rickman and Ian McKellen, I think, got one of those fart machines, the electronic fart machines. And then they put it in his little bedding there and made it fart sounds. Like, I mean, come on. How great is that?
That's hilarious. No, they were great movies. And it's hard to have a series of 8 movies that are so good. So I respect the movies, but I would say I like the books quite a bit more.
Oh, me too.
And I'm not in love with fantasy or anything. I like it okay, but this is one of the fantasy books I like. And it's just kind of fun. It's wizards and it's very British-y. It's got some pretty dark themes, like you said, like he's lost his parents. So you're already dealing with like death of parents and orphans. And I mean, you got some pretty bad people doing bad stuff sometimes.
And these kids get sent to this school where everything in and around the school can kill them.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to go into these sections of woods because giant spiders will come and kill you.
Yeah, it's Hunger Games.
Totally.
Maybe it's Hunger Games got its thing from this. It's like, what if we put all these kids in a place and everything can kill them? Like, but they're supposed to learn something.
What kind of parents are you? Yeah, no, I think they're great too. I mean, as much as I was making kind of fun of it there about acting about not knowing what happens, I think they're great. And the fact that they encourage people to read and write. Should we talk a little bit about the controversies around the book and her before we wrap it up? Or
yeah, let's go. I mean, for
most of it's post 2000 stuff, but well, like, so the book specifically, there've been attempts to ban books, especially in the United States, in the Bible Belt, of course. According to one thing I read here, it topped the American Library Association's list of most challenged books in the first 3 years of its publication. So that's interesting.
That's like the satanic panic thing, where your grandma's like, don't play those. Here's a list of records you shouldn't play backwards. And then those records sell because people buy them. They're like, we're totally going to play this record backwards because grandma said not to. We got to find out what this is all about.
Got to read this book, and you read it and you're like, what? This is nothing. Where's all the danger in this? And then there's criticism about the books too, even from like on the left. The fact there's no like gay or lesbian or trans characters in the books, that it's very like male, female genders. Like I mentioned, the criticism that the children are basically being taught to disobey their parents, stuff like that. So there's even those criticisms of it. I think it's all a bunch of hoo-ha over nothing, in my opinion. It's like, it's a freaking book. You got to create drama. It's a fantasy book even. So it's even more made up, right? Like, just because it's a book doesn't mean it's a truth. It's not nonfiction. It's fiction. So fucking get over yourselves.
The whole 80s, like, movies were all about children defying their parents and going on adventures.
Yeah, that's the Goonies.
The Goonies or anything from the 80s that had kids or teens in it was basically that.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there's no gay characters, but there's a lot of books with no gay characters, and there's some books with gay characters. Okay.
As if this is the first book written in history that doesn't have gay characters?
Oh my goodness. Sometimes books have gay characters, and sometimes books have characters, and the characters might be gay, but maybe they don't even mention it because it doesn't matter because it doesn't push the plot anywhere.
Yeah, it's not relevant to the story.
Maybe that redheaded kid in this book, maybe he's queer as folk, but maybe they just don't even mention it because they're just talking about magic and stuff. I don't know, man.
Or the blonde kid, he doesn't have any girlfriends.
Yeah,
and he's evil. You know, he must be gay if he's evil.
Oh, yeah.
I'm joking.
Somebody's going to quote people.
I know, totally.
They're going to quote you out of context.
Years from now. They'll be like, did you say this? And I'll be like, what?
You're being satirical. You're being sarcastic. But like years from now, there'll be a clip. Milo said that he's blonde and evil and gay and whatever. And even though you're being satirical.
You know he's gay because he's evil in the series.
He's evil because he's gay.
That happens to me all the time. People will be like, they'll say something. And I'll be like, I think you're taking that well out of context of what I actually meant by that.
Well, and your kind of style is deadpan satire, so it sounds serious as shit, man.
Yeah.
When I'm like, oh, he's so, you know, I do my goofy thing. You're like, straight faced.
That's going to get me in trouble.
Yeah, you can't run for president now. You're screwed, dude.
I'm definitely not going to comment on any of the JK Rowling stuff. I know she's getting a lot of hate from like the trans communities and stuff right now. I have not paid any attention to any of the stuff that she said. So I don't.
Oh, so the trans people are against her? Is she?
Yeah, apparently she's basically come out saying like your gender is based upon your birth gender, or maybe there's some debate around like at what point a trans person. So let's say you're male and you're transitioning to female, at what point do you become female, right? Are you female when you say I'm female, or are you female when like your gender parts change or when you take hormone therapy? So it's kind of, I think, that debate a little bit around that. I don't know where full on, but I guess she's getting hate because she has an opinion and, you know how the world
cancel her. That's basically gotta cancel her now.
Yeah, there was a few years ago, like people that were fans of Harry Potter were like, trashing their books and stuff because of it. Oh. But
well, so you know she is doing well if the far right, like religious people, are cutting her books and burning them, whatever, and then the far left people are cutting her books and like burning them or whatever. She's doing well for herself. That's controversy both ways.
If you have extremists on either side,
either side,
you,
burning your stuff, you're doing all right.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, she may be super rich, but I was looking at some of the stuff like that she's donated. She's donated tons of money to various charitable organizations. Mm. She was the second most generous donor in the UK in 2015 after Elton John. So Elton John donated more to charities than she did, and she was number two on the list out of everybody in the UK. You know, and it's so a lot of like women's
she
rights
puts her
groups.
Money, put your money where your mouth is. You can hate all you want, but if she's given that much, if she's just behind Elton John and giving, so I don't know.
That's a lot of freaking money.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, like to women's rights organizations, to children's, to like all kinds of international charities. Like apparently she was like sexually assaulted at some point in her life or something like that. So she donates a lot to like those types of women charities. Yeah, so you can disagree with her on her politics or opinions, but I think, I mean, she's written some great books. She's donated a lot of money. So just take a step back, people. You might not agree with her, but you don't need to send her death threats, okay? Relax.
Listen, just chill. I just need to chill. But yeah, hey, kids, or even adults, if you haven't read these books, check them out. You check us out, too, on the80sand90s.com. You could read some interesting articles. I write articles about fun stuff. You should go read. I encourage you to read our articles. And you know what? If you want to like say that you want to publish my articles in a book and give me $1 billion, go ahead.
Yeah, he'll take it.
Yep. Go read it, the80sandnineties.com. Turn our lives into a movie. It'd be like Wayne's World.
All right, and I guess with that, we will say we're out of here to go start our children's fantasy book, where magic meets the mysterious allure of forbidden romance, where a young witch from the Arcane Society finds herself drawn to a captivating vampire from the Nightingale Clan. As their forbidden love blossoms, they must navigate the treacherous alliances, dark secrets, and looming war that threatens to tear the world apart. Can their love survive the chaos? Or will it succumb to the forces that seek to divide them?
Do you think that, is that a book idea? What the hell was that?
I asked ChatGP to write me.
Oh, ChatGPT gave you some bullshit? Hey, it sounded great, though.
I did sound good. I mean, I was impressed. It wrote more than that, and I actually kind of rephrased it a little bit because it went a bit long and it was a bit convoluted. But basically, I was like, give me a book description that's a young adult fantasy that involves like vampires and magic in the style
of
Harry Potter.
Hey, man, before you know it, there won't even be any authors like J.K. Rowling. They'll just be ChatGPT writing all the books, and nobody will know the difference.
Write me a 1,000-page novel.
They'll probably do it in a couple years from now. Yeah, we won't have to be in like creative at all. It'll have an AI version of you and me talking shit.
Yeah. AI, create us a podcast episode. I think this week, how about something on the first Harry Potter book?
Times are weird, bro. Times are weird.
Yep.